Good morning. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, please. It's great to see everyone. I hope you've had a great week. I want to commend us this morning. I believe the message I preached on Thursday night was well received. Because I could see the fruits of repentance this morning. And it's just awesome to prepare your minds way ahead of time before you get here on Sunday morning. And I hope you had a great last night and a great morning. And it's time to dig into the Word of God. You know, last week, I started talking about how really what we have in the kingdom of God is truly priceless. And obviously, we all know that our theme for 2013 is wholehearted devotion. Where our devotion to something is based on the value we put on that object. Because one thing is for certain. In a few years, notice I said few. When you compare time to eternity, you and I will not be on this earth. As a matter of fact, I will go on record right now to say, you know what, I know in the next 50 years I'm not going to be here. You say, Richard, how do you know that? I don't want to live to be 100. Okay, I'm going to just tell you that right now. I have no desire to live to be 100. I'd rather go on to the other side. Amen. Where there'll be no need for doctors and nurses and people helping me out with stuff, you know. But we have an incredible eternity to look forward to. And so it's in that same vein I want to pick up in Matthew chapter 6, beginning verse 19. This is the Lord speaking. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. He starts off with a negative command. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Notice it doesn't say try not to. It doesn't say try your best. It doesn't say put a lot of effort into this. He says, don't do it. Amen? Amen. What does Jesus mean by that? He means exactly that. Don't do it. Are you with me? You and I know when we give instructions, again, a lot of us were parents, when we give instructions to our little ones and we tell them not to do certain things, we're not saying, well, try not to do that. We mean what we say. When we say don't touch, it means don't touch. If you do touch, guess what? There's going to be some consequences. Because what is that? It's disobedience to whatever command or whatever instruction that you gave your child. So when you and I do not obey this, When you and I do not follow this, when you and I do not live according to this, we are disobeying God. And he says, don't do it. Then after that, he gives a positive command. He says, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And so the title of my lesson this morning is my heart in the right place? And again, I don't want you to be thinking about your spouse or your brother or your sister or some person that you work with. I'm talking to you this morning. These instructions were written to me. They were written to you. Is my heart in the right place? Do I have my priorities in order? He says we need to store for ourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven. Where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Amen? That's exciting. Treasures in heaven, they are moth proof, they are rust proof, and they are burglar proof. Amen? Everything else on this earth will rust. And chances are, some of that stuff will be stolen. How many of us has ever had somebody break into your house or break into your car and steal something? Go ahead and raise your hand. Put them up. That's a lot of people. Okay? What does that say? There are a lot of thieves in the world. There's some people that like to take things that don't belong to them. I have a nasty habit when I'm driving to just put my wallet on the driver's seat. And it dawned on me the other day, you know what? If I'm sitting at a light and somebody sees that, all they need to do is open my door and grab the wallet. Now, I hardly have money in there, but my cards are in there. My debit card is in there. And my driver's license and stuff. And so, believe it or not, now when I'm driving, I lock the door. Because the wallet is sitting right there in plain view. You know, you see it on news all the time where people will get busted and all of a sudden they recover all the stuff. They've stolen iPads, they've stolen laptops, they've stolen all kinds of stuff. And they're asking for people, you know, if you've lost something, come back and claim your stuff. It's not a good feeling to realize that you worked hard for something and then somebody just grabbed it and took it away from you. And God is reassuring us that, you know what, if we store up our treasures in heaven, there's not going to be any of that going on. You know, I hear, again, I didn't grow up in this country, but I hear that back in the 60s, 50s and 60s in America, people never locked their doors. I mean, that's amazing. To realize, you know, you get up and you go off to school and you go off to work and you leave the doors open. Those days are gone. If you leave your door open right now, people are coming in. Even after you have it locked, they're still coming in. A lot of us, we have alarms on our homes. Isn't that right? You know, it's amazing. You see, some people have the alarms and they have cameras in the house and the alarm goes off. These guys know that it takes the police or whatever security company, you know, you're hooked up to, it takes them several minutes before they can get to you. And you can, they're still going around the house looking for stuff and taking stuff. And then they take their jolly time because they know they have about 3 to 5 minutes. What am I saying? Alarms don't really work either. Okay, I'm not saying they're bad. I got one too. But they don't really work. But you see, we don't like people breaking into our homes because why? We have valuables in there. Are you with me? And so, where are your valuables? Are they in your home? Are they on your job? Or are they in heaven? The only thing that I know of from Scripture that you and I can store in heaven is the souls of men. That's it. And my own soul. That's the only thing I can store up there. Are you with me? And so, what kind of deposit am I making? It says here that we need to store up treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. You see, brothers and sisters, our heavenly treasures will endure forever. He goes on to say how we can't serve two masters. It's not possible. Okay? It's like saying, what political party do you belong to? Well, I'm a Democrican. In other words, I'm a Democrat and I'm a Republican at the same time. You're going to look at me and say, you're not serious. You are either one or the other. You can't have your feet in both camps. Are you with me? The same thing when it comes to God. You cannot serve both God and money. It's not possible. We got to always make sure that we got our priorities right. You see, God is not a created being. Therefore, you cannot put something that was created at the same level with him. And that's the mistake we make sometimes, even in life. God is way and above everything else that's down here. And so I'm asking you this morning, as we're looking at this passage, is your heart in the right place? In Proverbs chapter 4, go ahead and turn there. We read this in December, but let's look at it again together. In Proverbs chapter 4, in verse 23, it simply says, above all else, guard your heart. For it is the wellspring of life. Above everything else, it says, guard your heart. He's not talking about the muscle that's in us that's beating. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about our inner person, our soul. He says, for it is the wellspring of life. Amen? We're very blessed to be living in America. I know sometimes we feel like, man, life is tough here. You ain't seen nothing. 90% of people in this world will gladly take your place and say, you move to where I'm from. Or you think you're suffering? You ain't seen suffering. This is paradise. That's why a lot of people want to come to America. And they will do whatever it is to get here. We're very blessed to be living in this country. Almost half the world's population of over 3.5 billion live on less than $2 a day. A lot of us make that in an hour, several times over. According to the UNICEF, 22,000 children die each day due to poverty. 22,000. Every day. I say all that to say, I believe Jesus is talking to us in this passage. Those of us who are fortunate enough to live in the West, to live in the most affluent nation on earth. Believe it or not, most of the Christians in the first century were poor. They were not, quote-unquote, the upper echelons of society. Most of our brothers and sisters that we're going to see on the other side, they were poor people. Amen? And so I said, you know, there's nothing wrong with money, okay? God has blessed us. Are you with me? But we got to be very, very careful that money and the pursuit of money and the pursuit of earthly things don't take over. It's a daily battle. But you got to guard your own heart. Your wife cannot do it for you. Your kids cannot do it for you. Your discipling partner cannot do it for you. You've got to do it yourself. Amen? Guard your heart, it says, for it is the wellspring of life. Over 1 billion people enter the 21st century unable to read a book or sign their names. That's the reality. As you are here right now, listening to my voice, turning to your Bible, you know, you take that for granted. that you're reading and writing. Over a billion people cannot do that. That's one out of every seven people cannot read or write. Again, I say that to say, you know what? We're so blessed. And if we're not careful, we're going to allow all this affluence to steal our eternity. Let me ask you a question. If your job and all your money, your family, your possessions, if all that stuff is taken away from you, what will you have? Where will you be? And that can happen too. I mean, it's always so heartbreaking when you listen to the news sometimes where all of a sudden, you know, there's a fire and this parent gets out and she lost four of her kids. I mean, you look at someone like that, he's like, where does she even begin? I mean, it's one thing to lose one child. It's something else to lose all your kids in a fire because they didn't have heat, and so they were trying to warm themselves with heat from the oven. It happens everywhere. It happens in this country. And all I'm saying is when you take all this stuff off and you take it all away, what do we have left? We can't put our hope on what will not last. You know, Gary has been talking about that as we're looking at 1 Peter. A lot of times what we do is, you know what, we're constantly looking backwards when Jesus wants us to be looking forward. Amen? You know, sometimes even, you know, as Christians we feel, you know, yeah, you know, I gave up this and I sacrificed that and I gave up that. And boy, I see my friends or I see my family members, see what they've done and see what they have and all that stuff. It's all temporary. I would not trade places with my brother. I don't want what he's got. I'm not interested. I'm looking forward. Amen. We got to be very, very careful because it creeps in. You don't just wake up one morning and decide, yeah, you know what? I don't want to serve God anymore. Let me just go back into the world. It's very gradual. And that's why the Hebrew writer tells us we got to be very careful to pay attention to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. And so I'm asking you, is your heart in the right place this morning? This very wealthy guy got into an accident in his Bentley, Rolls Royce Bentley. And, you know, another guy saw the whole thing happen. And so I rushed over there. The guy was bleeding. The car was damaged. He came to consciousness a little bit. And the guy was like, Are you okay? And the man is going, oh, my car, my Bentley. The guy said, are you crazy, mister? You're bleeding? As a matter of fact, you've lost your right arm? You guys go, oh, my Rolex. Why? Because his heart and his mind was not in the right place. You see, all these earthly things, all these physical things can be taken away just like that. Is your heart in the right place? Look in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, since then, you have been raised with Christ. We've been born again, regenerated, like we're even talking about again this morning. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. Jesus saying the same thing to us in Matthew chapter 6. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Amen? I think it's important to remember that last part. We're not just going to appear with Christ as Christians. The Bible says we're going to appear with him in glory. You say, Richard, what does that mean? I have no idea, but it sounds awesome. You're about to find out what that means. You're going to have to stick around to find out. But if you're focused on earthly things, you are not going to experience it. Glory. It's going to be incredible. How do I know? Because there's nothing on this side of eternity to compare it to. Amen? But it says we need to set our hearts on things above. What's above? God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, which is also around and in us, souls of men and women, angels, incredible heavenly beings. The Bible says you and I need to set our minds on things like that, not on earthly things. Amen? That's a challenge. Jesus put it this way in the gospel. He says, what good is it if you gain the whole world and you forfeit your soul? What good is it if you gain the whole world and forfeit and lose your soul? Now look in Luke chapter 18. Let's look at another guy that we're very familiar with. And let's find out where his heart was. Is your heart in the right place? Luke chapter 18, beginning verse 18. A certain ruler asked him, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. All these I have kept since I was a little boy, he said. First of all, that's a lie. You say, Richard, how do you know? He just lied. Who do you know? Name me one person who's ever kept all the commandments. There was only one sinless man. His name is Jesus. Okay, and it's not that person that you were thinking about. And it's not your grandma either. Or grandpa. Because sometimes we get very sentimental. You just never met my grandpa. Your grandpa, I'm sorry, is a sinner. Just like you, just like me. Because the Bible tells me that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Are you with me? Nobody is perfect when we compare them to our Almighty God. Amen? So, this guy just lied. But it's very interesting. Notice, Jesus didn't focus on that. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, you liar. No, he didn't. He says, you still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. When he heard this, he became very sad because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Those who heard this asked, who then can be saved? Jesus replied, with this, what is impossible with men is possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left all we had to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus said to them. No one who has left home or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much in this age, and in the age to come, eternal life. Okay? We know about this guy. First of all, he didn't have a sober estimate about himself. Again, look at his mindset. Listen to the question he asked. He says, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? Somehow, in our minds as humans, we always think we can earn our way to God. You can't. I can't. There is no good thing I could do or you could do to deserve eternal life. Eternal life is a free gift. And again, I've said it before and I'll say it again. I don't know about you. I like free. Free is good. You know, every once in a while, you know, you go into a store and you see this, buy one, get one free. You know, I always do the math in my head very quickly. But be very careful because, you know, those guys, they play gimmicks with those things. I can tell if it's a real bargain or they're just playing with you. This shirt that I'm putting on, okay? It normally retails for $79.50. It's 100% cotton, pinpoint. Okay? Say, why, Richard, is that how much you paid for it? Come on, man. I didn't say that. I'm not going to pay $80 for a shirt. It's not happening. What you do is you wait until they do buy one, get one free. Or even better, until they slash the prices so much that like 70% off. Then you go in and you go buy yourself like three of them. They went on sale. I paid $19.99. And I bought me a bunch of them. And so the other day, believe it or not, I was in the store again. And that, you know, we have these things marked down, this. It's not $45. I looked at Leah, I said, let me tell you something. Last year, I bought three from here for $19.99. When you tell me when it's going to be that price, I will come back in and buy those shirts. Why? Because I like free. Salvation is a gift. And here you are, you're trying to pay for it. And you can't do it. I can't do it either. So he's got a works mindset salvation already. And just says, no. One thing you lack. Go sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And then come follow me. And look at his response. It was very tragic. Jesus told him what he needed to hear. He probably thought, just going to say, wow, you've done that. Hey, guys, talking to the apostles. Hey, look at this guy. I think we need to make him one of us. I think he needs to come join you guys. He's a pretty good guy, and he's got money. I think it was Mike Tolliver that said this the other day, and I thought it was very interesting. Obviously, Jesus didn't back down, and so the guy walked away. The apostles are probably thinking, oh, man, there goes a rich guy. Who would have probably eaten better if he allowed him to join us. But God said, he wouldn't give up his wealth. Do you realize that in the entire Bible, there are two people where God called out and said, I want you to sacrifice this. This is one of them. He didn't do it. The other person was Abraham. Genesis 22. As a matter of fact, what God told Abraham to give up was a whole lot more valuable than what we just read. Because Abraham was called to give up his son. His only son. That he had with Sarah. And he was going to do it. That joker tied up the boy. I kid you not. Bound him, took out a knife, and raised it. And was about to plunge it into him. When God said, hey, babe, hang on. Now I know that you love me. That you will not withhold your only son from me. And then he looked, and there the Bible says there was a ram caught in a thicket. And he said, I want you to sacrifice that instead. And Abraham named that place on the mountain of the Lord. It will be provided. The rich young ruler failed the test. Abraham passed the test. And the Bible says, as a result of that, it was credited to him, what? As righteousness. And God will credit the same righteousness to you and me when we have that kind of faith in him. It's a faith issue. In terms of what your heart, where your heart is and what you're focusing on. It's a faith issue. If God gave you his best in Jesus, do you think there's anything else he will withhold from you? As his child? That's why when people are not Christians and they're not serious about their salvation and about their relationship with God, I don't get it. Satan has you fooled. We think, oh yeah, I'm young. I got time. I'm going to get to this. I'm a cool dude. You're not cool. I'm sorry. Let me bust your bubble. Oh, you think, oh yeah, I'm good looking. Girls are looking at me. They're not looking at you. They're making fun of you. Your looks ain't going to get you to heaven. It's not going to get you into university. Your relationship with God will get you to the other side. If your heart is in the right place. Amen? That's what we've got to focus on. Abraham placed his faith in God. The rich young ruler wouldn't do it. Now, does that mean we all go and sell everything we have and give it to the poor? God didn't give you that command. There are other prominent, quote-unquote, wealthy Christians in the Bible. Abraham, I just named him. He was very wealthy. God didn't tell him to go sell everything he had and give it to the poor. Remember Joseph of Arimathea? The guy who took care of Jesus' burial? He was a wealthy guy. And so God is not saying, okay, everybody, every Christian, go sell everything you have. That's not the case. But the question, though, is, do your possessions own you? What are you not willing to give up? See, that's where your heart is. And that's what you've got to be very careful of. And my Bible says those who chase after worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Amen? It's not worth it. It's not worth it. This guy made a tragic mistake. A rich man in his own power cannot walk or warm his way into the kingdom. It is impossible. Salvation from start to finish is not on human achievement. The apostles, remember, they left everything. It's amazing. The invitation God gave to this guy was just like he gave to the apostles. He says, go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and then come follow me. I heard Steve Galbraith say this week, you know, he saw a caption where Jesus says, follow me. And I don't mean on Twitter. That's pretty cool. Jesus doesn't have a Twitter account. When Jesus says, follow me, it means follow me. Come be like me. Imitate me. When I jump, you jump. When I run, you run. When I go west, you go west. We are obeying the scriptures by the way we live, and people can see it. It is so obvious. Amen? Twitter. So what does that mean, people that tweet? Are they twats? I don't know. I was thinking about that the other day. Say, so Richard, do you tweet? Do I look like somebody that tweets? I don't even know where to begin. I don't even know what brushing the post. But between you and I don't know where people find time to do stuff like this. Oh, you can have people follow you. I don't want people to follow me. Why? Oh, I can't follow this person on Twitter. I'm sorry, their lives are not that interesting. They're a bunch of quacks as far as I'm concerned. Why would I want to be following these guys? What do I care what you had for lunch or where you're at? This world, I'm telling you, man, we got our priorities all messed up. Oh, Richard, you're not current. Please, I don't want to be current. I just want to follow Jesus. Amen. Amen? And I know where he's at. He's very clear and bold. He's not on Twitter. Amen? But Jesus gave this young man the same command. He gave to Peter, Andrew, and John, and they left their fishing business and they followed. The same command he gave to Matthew as he was seated there on the tax collector's booth. And he says, follow me. And the guy got up and left. This guy wasn't willing to do it. The same command I believe God has given us today. Even if we've been Christians for 30 years, he still follow me. Christianity really is not that complicated. Follow me back 2,000 years ago, he still follow me today. Amen? But the question is, our hearts there. That's always the issue. That's what we've got to examine. Is your heart in the right place? And the cool thing is, our sacrifice, your sacrifice, is going to be rewarded one day. Not only in this life, but in the life to come. Eternal life, we already have it. The Bible says in John, is to know God. And then at the second coming, we get to see everything. It's going to be awesome. I'm not going to age. You are not going to age either. I mean, every passing day, you look at yourself and you're like, man, there are a few more gray hairs. Where is this stuff coming from? Now, obviously, again, the older you get, the more challenging, it becomes, to keep your weight on a certain level. I'm looking forward to be able to get to the other side. I don't know everything we're going to be eating, but I'm looking forward to just being able to eat and I don't get any weight. Hey, I'm just being honest with you. The other day we had a meeting, with the evangelists and elders and everything, and we got the food out there, and they brought out fries. Bro, I'm gonna tell you, I can't eat that stuff, man. I'm trying to lose weight. I ate the salad and everything, and if you know me, anything that's green, I don't eat it. I joke around where I'm from. Goats. Goats eat the salad. And now the doctors are telling me, you better be eating that stuff, for you to be in shape. And so I've started doing it. Okay? But I'm going to tell you, it's not easy. So I'm looking forward to the other side where man of men. Oh. It's going to be awesome. Now I got to deny myself. Amen? Heaven is going to be incredible. We're not going to age. You're going to be your handsome, pretty self. 700 years from now. It's going to be awesome. We get a new body. Amen. It's going to be incredible. A body that will never perish, that will never break down or ever get sick. It's going to be incredible. But the question is your heart in the right place? We got to be like Abraham. When God called him to go sacrifice his one and only son, he did it. And as a result, the Bible said it was credited to him as righteousness. And God will credit you and I with the same righteousness. But if you keep chasing after all these worthless things, after the things of this world, you are going to forfeit your eternity. You will forfeit your eternity. You will weep and cry and gnash your teeth, and God will not change his mind. Because you didn't make that decision now. Now is the time to make him the priority. Now is the time to make sure that our house is in order. Because like I said last week, and I'll say it again, as a brother said many, many years ago, you never give your life for anything that death can take away. It's just not worth it. You know, it's very tragic. We don't even know the name of this young man. And we have no record in scripture that he ever made it. It's very sad. There's going to be a lot of billionaires and multimillionaires in hell. Not because of their money, but because their heart was in the wrong place. I got nothing against money. God bless you with money. God bless you. I hope you're using it to glorify God's name and not just spending it on yourself. I hope you're using it to win souls for Christ and not just spending it on yourself. God has given you the money and the ability to make that money for a reason and to help those that are less fortunate. Amen. That's what this is all about. But we've got to make sure that our heart is in the right place. Amen. Grace be unto you all. God bless.